praise you, Lord God. Are you ready for the word this morning? Turn your Bible to Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. Verse 14, in righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. We started speaking last week about the number one enemy against being able to receive of the things of God. Your prayers answered, the power of God moving in your life. Whatever you're believing for, it's the number one enemy is condemnation. Anytime you're about to attempt to believe God for anything, the enemy will say, well, who are you to believe that you can receive that? God won't bless you. He won't heal you. He won't prosper you. Who are you to believe that God would ever receive you into heaven? Whatever. Condemnation is the number one enemy to activating your faith. Because condemnation is fear in the negative. Condemnation is fear that opposes what God has said. And so we have found out that there was nothing we could do to ever earn salvation with Jesus, right? Is there anything you could do to be good enough to earn salvation from God? No, there's not a thing. It's a free gift through the cross. However, we have found out through the cross as well, you weren't just, how can I say, forgiven of some sins. You were made a new creation in Christ Jesus. Right? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are not who you used to be. You have been recreated, regened, a new species of being that did not exist before the cross. Get this. You are no longer just a human being. You're a human being outwardly, but a God being inwardly. That's kind of hard to say, isn't it? I mean, just try to say it to yourself, I'm a God being inwardly. Because the enemy has built so much, taken so much time to build in our life doubt in who God made us, it seems difficult to say that. Almost like, is a lightning bolt going to hit me? But Jesus said, does it not say in your word that you are God's? Quoting Jesus. That he understood that through the cross we would be made righteous. Not just righteous in God's eyes, but made righteous. Inwardly, you have been redeemed and cleansed of a sin nature. God's pulled it out of the heart of who you are. And now you have a desire inwardly, if you've been born again, to serve God, to know God, to represent God, to flow in the power of God. Amen. But the enemy works overtime to make you think you're still who you used to be. That you're still a sinner, that you're still fallen, that you're still unworthy. And it's vital you know that if you're going after Jesus, understand we made that as a responsibility. We still got to go after God. We've got to resist sin. We got to go from faith to faith and glory to glory. But if you're going after the Spirit, you have a right to live condemnation free. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we have a right to live without this burden of doubt in who we are, without this weight of responsibility to feel like we've let God down. Listen, you can't let God down. You're not holding Him up. Amen? God knows everything you're going to do before you do it. You let you down. You may let other people down, but you're not letting God down. And God's desire for you is that you maintain an understanding of who He made you and keep pursuing after that revelation. I heard this stated years ago. I think it was Woody Woodson I heard say it for the first time. Once you are born again, you will spend the rest of your life discovering what happened in that moment of time. If we can ever get a hold of what really happened when we were saved, how we were actually recreated new, made sin free, if we could ever get a hold of that revelation and step into the promise and power of it, nothing would be impossible unto us. In fact, you have the same nature of God that Jesus did when He was on earth. You have the same authority to some level that He had. You have a portion of that authority, right? You have the same anointing, the same Holy Spirit. And in fact, there's nothing that Jesus did on earth other than go to the cross and come out of the grave that the Word declares you don't have a right to do. Amen. Well, who do you think you are? I'm really attempting to develop my understanding to realize I am who God says I am. Because of myself, I want to carry this revelation that I really need God and I'm just worthless, but how helpless I am without God. Well, that's true. I'm helpless without God. But I also want to step into the revelation of knowing He made me able with Him. And condemnation says, you're worthless and unable regardless. Did you follow me? See, of myself, I can do nothing. But God's qualified me through right standing with Him, through my righteous nature, with His assistance to do anything. If I can maintain and develop that revelation. The sin condemnation nature says, yes, you can't do anything without God, and you're not good enough or worthy enough that God would aid you in what you want to do. Do you follow me? So we are not helpless beings. We're not powerless beings. We are positioned to flow in the fullness of the power and the love of God. In fact, Jesus said this, I do nothing I don't see the Father do. And He basically let us know He couldn't do anything unless God backed it up. Do you follow me? We're in the same position. And we've been recreated as righteous as Jesus. And it says in Isaiah 54, if you can get a hold of that, you will be far from every form of oppression. Terror will not be able to visit your life in any fashion. No fear. Amen. And fear is faith in the curse. So I'm about to make a key statement. Fear is faith in the curse. Righteousness revelation keeps you free from fear, which prevents you from living under the curse. Did I say that right? So therefore, if you are experiencing any aspect of the curse whatsoever in your life, sickness, lack, discouragement, anxiety, fear, frustration, they are all the result of not fully realizing that you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because if we really had that revelation, oppression couldn't stick to us. Condemnation couldn't weigh us down, and we could freely step into every promise that God's given to us. In this series, I want to get across to us, if nothing else, renew this understanding. You are not who you used to be. Therefore, you should not be living how you used to live. Right. Amen. You should not be experiencing what you used to experience. Everything should shift. You are the fulfillment, spiritually, of The Prince and the Pauper. Did you ever see that old movie, The Prince and the Pauper? I really like the old one, the original one with Freddie Bartholomew. And in this story, it turns out the prince, the king's son, he's like 10 years old, has a doppelganger. Not a ghostly one, but a human lookalike. And he's a pauper. He's got nothing. And they inadvertently switch positions. They're shifted. They're confused for one another. And the pauper gets to go to the palace. And you watch the transition as he finds out what he has access to. At first, you know, he's afraid to even ask for food or something to eat. And, you know, he goes through this whole, these situations where he's finding out he's got authority, that people bow down to him. He's gone from being beaten for everything to people are bowing down. And he enjoys the process. Amen. Well, we've got to go through the same training process. We've gone from being under the curse to being under the blessing. From being a sinner to being made righteous. Amen. From being a son of the devil or daughter to the son of the king. And in the movie, the prince, when he's confused as a pauper and people try to push him around, he fights back. I mean, they try to beat him with a stick. He picks up a stick and whoops the other guys. He's been trained in self-defense as the king's son, you know. And he said, "Don't you know you're speaking to the son of the king?" He couldn't forget he was a king's kid. We've got to get a hold of both, realizing we are now of royal blood, and not lose sight of that, because when we lose sight of it, all of a sudden here comes Mr. Oppression, Mr. Anxiety, and Mr. Defeat mentality. If you really knew who Jesus made you through the cross, you would never entertain the mindset that you could ever lose a single thing the rest of your life. That you would always win and come out on top. Anxiety is the symptom of a lack of righteous revelation. And we should be walking around knowing that we are somebody. And again, people say, "Well, who do you think you are?" I want to think I'm exactly what the Word says I am. But each of us has to fight this fight of moving into this revelation. And not only fighting it one time, but fighting it repeatedly. Because the devil doesn't stop. He doesn't stop. And he's after your understanding that you're the king's kid. So he does it through reminding you of everything you've done wrong. Remember when you ate too much for Thanksgiving? Shouldn't eat that second Oreo ball. Those things were that big around. More like Oreo cakes. But they still counted as one Oreo ball. Just one. We've got to remember we have rights to every promise and blessing of God. So the enemy brings doubt in that. He tries to challenge you in bringing up all your errors and mistakes of the past. And if you start listening to that, all of a sudden you'll be going, "Yeah, I did mess. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, hear my prayer. Don't throw me out of heaven. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Those are all indications that the enemy's working against your righteousness. And you got to be willing to say, "But the Word says." So the verse we ended on last week, go to Job chapter 24. Job 24. Now go to chapter 27. I figure 24 is a lower number, it'd be easier to find. Job 27, verse 6. He says, "My righteousness." Now I understand he was being accused by his tormentors of all types of evil. They said no man, unless he was just totally, you know, enveloped in sin, would ever experience these difficulties. And Job says, "No, my righteousness I hold fast." Job knew that he was seeking after God, right? Making sacrifices to God. He says, my righteousness I hold fast. I shall not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. This is one of my favorite verses of Scripture. This is one for years I would bring out all the time when the enemy would say, you always or you never, or you're falling short of the glory. I would work this verse over and over and over again. Every time I heard a voice of condemnation, I would speak this verse. No! My righteousness I hold fast, I shall not let it go. I'm locking on to that thing. And you've got to guard your righteousness like you have to guard your healing. Because they're linked. You have to guard your righteousness like you have a promise of God to prosper you because they're linked. Because if the enemy can ever get to your understanding of your righteousness, he neutralizes your faith in the other two. Because condemnation neutralizes faith. So, you've got to be willing to hold to your revelation of righteousness. You've got to be willing to fight for it. Let me show you a few verses in the New Testament. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles means schemes. That you can stand against the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In other words, he's saying, we're fighting against demonic forces. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. And then he starts sharing the armor. And I believe to some level it's shared in level of importance, in order of importance. Because he says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. There is no more important thing you can do than have a heart that is determined to guard truth. Because if you'll guard the truth, you'll guard the word. You'll take the word as above every other decision you make in importance, right? So have your loins girt about with truth. And then he says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now what does the breastplate cover regarding the armor? It covers your heart. Your most vital organ. Well, I guess your brain. Of course, that'd be the helmet of salvation. Your breastplate covering your heart keeps the arrows of condemnation from penetrating your recognition of who you are. That you've been given a new heart with God. He took out the heart of sin. He put in you a heart of righteousness, a heart of truth, a heart of love. And so that revelation of righteousness covers that. Because if you don't get the revelation that God made you a new creation in Christ and you've been delivered from sin and the sin nature, then arrows are penetrating into your heart all the time of the enemy telling you that you're worthless or unworthy. And who do you think you are? Has anybody ever beside me ever heard the enemy say, who do you think you are? Just lift your hand. Like this morning, it's actually his favorite tactic to use against you. Because he wants to drag you down to his failed level. Because he thought he was somebody and tried to exalt himself above the throne of God. Father God came to him and said, who do you think you are? And he took the big plummet. So the enemy tries to get you to feel the same way because you were down here and God's called you up here. So Mr. Pointy Tail wants to bring you back down to that old fall. He wants to go back to his old level. He wants to bring you back down to your old level. And you got to be willing to put on that armor. And you got to be willing to put on the breastplate of righteousness and say, my righteousness I hold fast. My heart, guarded by the revelation of righteousness, shall not reproach me so long as I live. And here's what righteousness does for you. Because righteousness represents a heart or a nature free of sin. That right nature now puts you in right standing with God. How many know that nobody can come before God with sin? Right? I mean, no sin's going to come before the throne of God. It would burn up. So God gave you a heart free of sin. So you can freely and boldly approach the throne of grace. Amen. So righteousness gives you right standing, which gives you rights to go before God. And then those rights position you to receive of every promise of the kingdom of God. You have rights to go to God without the devil even being able to interfere. Because you're seated in heavenly places. And you could not be seated in heavenly places unless you'd been born again. No sinner is seated in heavenly places. God told nobody in the Old Testament they were seated in heavenly places. You've been elevated to that position through the blood, through the resurrection. And because you're seated in heavenly places, Satan's been kicked out of the heavens. Jesus cleansed the heavenlies with his own blood. You're seated in a place that Satan can't even access. And you can have God-to-God encounter without the devil even having anything to say about it. That's why we can always trust God to lead us by our spirit man. Because Satan can't interfere with that peace within. He'll try to confound thoughts up here, but he can't interfere with this peace down here. Because he's been cleansed from that realm. His presence has been cleansed from that realm. He's far from cleansed himself, right? Go to let me find it here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I wrote the wrong verse down. Hang on, let me see if it's 2 Corinthians. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 7. Verse 7. I'll get it right in a second. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7. By the word of truth, there's our truth again. By the power of God, the dunamis power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Here it calls righteousness and armor, as we just discussed. Without a revelation of who you've been made in Christ, you are not properly clad and shielded from the attacks of the enemy. The Bible says to take unto you the shield of faith, right? Wherewith you shall quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. However, the shield of faith does not work unless you also have a revelation of who you are in Christ. In fact, the shield of faith is primarily made up of faith in who you now are. Hopefully I don't mess up the story. Tom can correct me. I've heard it several times in the past. George Washington, before the Revolutionary War, was in a battle, And 100, was, I believe it was 100 men, lowered their rifles that had been fired at virtually point-blank range and all missed. His coat was full of holes that went through him and missed him. So when the revolution came and it was time for the Indians to join in and help the British, they wouldn't do it because they recognized George Washington and said, no, God protects that man, because they had witnessed what happened before. Is this somewhat true? God had a plan for his life. They couldn't kill him. He was going after God. He had a plan. We've been watching the David Barton videos. Don't buy into this stuff about our founding fathers were all deists. You know, had surface relationships with God. These were men of great faith. And so Washington, protected by God, they couldn't hurt him. Well, the Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Right? Isaiah 54:14, we read verse 17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you in condemnation, you shall condemn. Look at verse 17, Isaiah 54:17. You shall condemn, for this is the heritage or inheritance of the servants of the Lord, and our righteousness is of Him. I'll give you a second to get there. Hallelujah. Isaiah 54:17. We read verse 14 where it says, in righteousness you'll be established, you'll be far from fear, right? From terror, for it shall not come near thee. Verse 17 says, no weapon. Everybody say, no weapon. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. That means you're like George Washington. They can't kill you because there's a call on your life.
Amen. Amen.
But it doesn't work just because you're born again. You must know that you're righteous. I'm going to say something. Hopefully nobody gets upset at me. Nobody gets threatened. But for years, I've been teaching we have a right to live where no weapon formed against us prospers. And that if you get a hold of who you are, the devil can't kill you. And people will say, well, Pastor Jack, there have been Christians martyred for years. What about all the first disciples? 11 of the 12 were martyred. Yes. And they still do not understand who they were in Christ. It's not that you're made righteous that protects you. It's that you recognize you're made righteous that protects you. That shield of righteousness, or, you know, armor of righteousness, does not work unless you have a revelation of it, an active revelation that you're working. That's why you've got to say, my righteousness, I hold fast, I shall not let it go. Because where he says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Do you see that? See it in the verse? Should be up here, right? No, we switched again. Go back to Isaiah 54:17. Look at this. Isaiah 54:17. Amen. That's why it wasn't coming up. I hadn't given it the sign. Look at this. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Do you believe this is inspired word?
Right.
And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. In other words, this doesn't work unless you're willing to condemn judgmental thoughts sent against you. Do you see this? You can't just say no weapon formed against me shall prosper if you still think you're some poor sinner and all your righteousness is filthy rags. You're going to get your tail whooped. Devil's going to pluck your tail feathers. You've got to know who you are for this to work. You got to know that you're the king's kid. You got to know he gives his angels charge over you because you're righteousness. And then you have to guard it. You got to be willing. You know, I had Casey up here last week with the condemning words. You got to be willing to say, no, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I condemn those judgmental words or even thoughts. I hold fast my righteousness. You got to war for it. You will fight more for your righteous standing with God than you will for healing. You will fight more for your right standing with God than you will for prosperity. Well, I fight a lot for healing. Well, the thing is, you're only sick so much of the time. I mean, if you have any sickness, it's not all the time. There may be pains you carry all the time, maybe things you're believing for all the time. And I know some people have chronic pain. But by and large, you have to fight for righteousness every day. Every day the devil's trying to condemn you. To some level, you got to at least dust off your shield. Polish that thing a bit. I work right standing scriptures in my life every day. Four things I work in my life. I have to keep counting. There's a list of things I've got to work in my life every day. And I do. Righteousness, healing, prosperity, love, and my marriage. And of course, family being saved and everything else. But those five I work every day. Through my day, I'm speaking over those five. And very little do I work more than righteousness, if anything. Well, love, probably. Because I'm so cuddly. I need extra confession. What are you laughing about? You chose me. You know a woman doesn't marry a man for who he is, right? She marries him for who she thinks she can make him. And then spends the rest of her life trying to get him into that fashion. Well, there was a cold wave came through on that one, I'll tell you. And the guys aren't saying a thing. I didn't get a single amen out of the guys, I'm telling you. You know, behind every great man, there's a woman rolling her eyes. I see Melania now going. That's why my wife follows me everywhere I go and says, "He didn't mean it. It was a joke. This is what he meant." He was teasing. No, it wasn't. She's my fixer. Glory to God. I've never been able to pull a practical joke with Patty around. She'll spring it every time. No, it's a trick. That's the truth. Just that compassion springs up. Doesn't want anybody to be surprised or fooled or nothing, I'm telling you. We have a responsibility. Look at this. We have a responsibility to condemn the voices that rise up against us. You've got to speak to the voices. We've done this message a few times. I heard it years ago. I've been preaching it ever since. When you're in a battle with the powers of darkness, when you're in a demonic power, when in a demonic fight, he that gets the last word wins. Remember as kids or having kids? If you had a brother or sister, you did it. If you have kids, you watched it. And they'll get into it. Did so, did not. Did so, did not. Did so, did not. And you know the one that says it last wins. And they're not going to quit. Did so. Did. Well, that's how it is with the devil. You're worthless. I'm not. Or two, I'm righteous. Nuh-uh, remember this? That's under the blood. I'm righteous. Or not. Or two, or not. You've got to be willing when this condemnation rises up to lock horns with it and have enough word in you to confront it with.
Right.
And speak the word. And if you'll speak the word, it may take more than one time. But eventually you stabbed him enough with that sword of the Spirit, he's going to quit. You never have to worry the devil can outlast you if you'll speak the word. Oh, we could write a book on that one, couldn't we? You never have to worry the devil can outlast you if you'll speak the word. Just keep saying, I'm healed. Keep saying, I'm prosperous. Keep saying, I'm righteous. Keep saying, I'm loved. Now, see, I've got a word for somebody. Maybe for more than one. But as I was saying that, the Lord says, and you've got to keep saying that you are accepted in the beloved. You've got to know that you're loved in the church. Because the word declares it. The enemy will work overtime trying to tell you that people in the church don't like you, or you're not like them, or you're not the same, or you know, or they've moved ahead of you, or they've moved behind you, whatever. You got to say, no, I'm part of the family. I'm accepted in the family God's connected me to. And you got to fight for it. Otherwise, isolation or separation will try to eat your lunch and tell you that, you know, you're just not part of that group anymore. It's a lie. Well, I'm different. We're all different. Yes. Believe me, I've watched people for a lot of years. We're all different. I could show it to you mathematically. Have you ever seen a bell curve of probability scattering, I guess would be a way to put it? And right in the curve, you know, looks like this, goes up like a bell and comes down. And right in the middle is supposed to be normal. And after the outskirts are different. Did you know what the bell curve for people looks like? It's a flat line, one person high. It goes about 6 trillion people wide. It's one person high because there is no normal. We used to battle as we were younger. Oh, I'm just not normal. I found that there is no normal. It just doesn't exist. We're all different. And we all equally need the impartation of the cross to be made righteous. For years, people will make an effort to try to make alterations or adjustments in their life to try to be normal. Does anybody know what I'm speaking about? I just want to be like other people. I want to be normal. Until you try to pick the one person you think is normal and you look at him, you realize they're not normal either. I mean, we just elected a president who does not have a normal hairdo. And it diverges from there. I mean, look around you. What normal person is in here? You want to know who the most normal is that you would think would be Debbie? Because she didn't say much. She would have nothing to judge on.
Right.
She starts speaking, we'll find there's idiosyncrasies there as well. There's differences there. And how many, when they get hit by the Holy Ghost, dance like Lou does? How many have been vaccinated with a phonograph needle like Gene has or others? You follow me? We're all different. Don't be offended. I'm just pointing out differences, which are good. I'm glad we're different. That means nobody gets to be like me. Nanny, nanny, boo-boo. So the devil tries to pull out your differences, which are infinite in number. And say, you're not like everybody else. Who do you think you are? You're too different. You're too strange. You're too, you know, odd. And the truth is, the blood and the resurrection extend to your life equally as to anybody's. But you've got to fight for it. And he would say, yes, I'm different. Praise God for the differences. But I am as righteous as Jesus. Amen? And quit beating yourself up for how you're not like everybody else. Have you done that one before? And then it says, for this is the heritage, meaning that the lineage the inheritance, the passed down characteristics of the servant of the Lord. And our righteousness is of Him. It's of the Lord. We're as righteous as Him. And it's our inheritance. It's our lineage spiritually now. We have a right to live free of condemnation. Can you imagine Jesus going down the street and He wants to, you know, raise somebody from the dead, and the devil says, wait. You remember yesterday you made that whip out of cords and you beat the people in the temple and you tipped over the money changers' tables? Who do you think you are? You had a fit of anger and you're unworthy that you could ever even heal a nosebleed, much less raise somebody from the dead. I will guarantee you Jesus had to fight these fights. There is nothing you fight He didn't have to fight. The Bible says He went through every form of trial and tribulation that we go through. Yet without sin. Meaning without doubting the Word. Or shifting off of the plan of God. Without compromising the things of the kingdom. He fought the same fights. But I'm sure He said, I was born of a virgin. I'm of the seed of the King of Kings. Are you following me? God is my Father. Get thee behind me, Satan. I mean, Peter just kind of hinted at speaking what Satan had to say. When Peter said, you will not go to the cross. I'm sure Peter thought he was, you know, saying something very spiritual and very uplifting and very edifying. How would you like that? You're telling Jesus, nothing bad could ever happen to you. Get thee behind me, Satan! Ooh! You talk about ready to crawl under a table. But Jesus had to fight these condemning and opposing thoughts and voices. And notice He didn't play around with it. Get thee behind me. When Satan opposed Him in the wilderness, Jesus said, thou shalt not. Spoke the word to the devil and opposed his operations. You got to be willing to kick devil butt to be a victor in the kingdom of God. And you got to be willing to guard the revelation of who you are and work it into your life. Just like, see, when I share about these promises of God, they sound so exciting till you find that you've got to work them. Oh, I've just given you a 100-acre farm. Praise God. Yeah, now you've got to grow some crops. Oh. Ain't going to do something with it. Well, can I just rent it? Not in the kingdom of God. You've got to work your own land. In other words, just because mama saved doesn't mean you're saved. Just because grandma served God and got a hold of the promise don't mean that you do. You've got to work your own land. You've got to work your own heart, your own field. So if you want to step into divine healing, you've got to work some word into your heart. Amen. And battle for it. Stand on it. Speak it. Go against symptoms. If you want to work prosperity into your life, you've got to sow some seed and sow some word into your life. And work it and confront lack. Stand on the word. And if you want to do either of them, you have to work righteousness into your life. If you want to do it effectively. This revelation I'm teaching you in this series changed my life. Totally transformed it. I had been saved for 10 years before I learned this. And for 10 years, I was already accessing some level of healing. Accessing some level of God's promises being fulfilled financially. I was walking in victory in some areas of life to a level. But I was doing it through mainly major spiritual warfare operations. I mean, battling for healing, I'm walking the floor. For hours, I'm healed in Jesus' name. I'm speaking the word in Jesus' name. By His stripes, I'm healed. And having a battle with nothing but my faith locking horns with the things of the enemy. But once I found out I was righteous, it shifted everything. Because before I had to keep speaking the word to maintain my faith connection, because if I didn't keep praying, I started doubting my spirituality or my seriousness, and I wouldn't see it manifest like I wanted to. So I had to stay in a place of fasting and prayer. Not that I don't still believe in all that, you follow me? But it was just to get a hold of a promise. Once I found out I was righteous, I could speak, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I believe I received the promise, and kicked the vehicle into a cruise control without having to think I had to always be praying it to see it come to pass. Do you follow me on that? Because when the enemy came and said, you never stop having to pray for another 3 hours, I believe I received. I could say, I'm the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. And I've already prayed. I believe I've received. I believe I have it. And rest. Rest in my righteousness. And watch God move without me feeling like I had to be in this spiritual warfare all the time to receive of it. Now, there'll be seasons of spiritual warfare like that. But if we had to pray for 8 hours every time we want to receive a promise, we're not going to receive a whole lot. And righteousness connects you to a network. I'm trying to think how the right way to put it. It networks you to the kingdom promises of God, that through the revelation of righteousness you can receive of everything, knowing who you are, and then speak and get into place. Verse, have to speak it for 3 days straight. We used to call it raw faith, trying to believe God just by raw faith, just nothing. Once we found out we were righteous, everything shifted. Look over at Isaiah. I guess you're already there, aren't you? Let me make sure I get the right. I think it's chapter 32, but let me make sure I get the right one. Yeah, Isaiah 32. Oh, you're going to like this verse. But remember, I was speaking about you got to work your field. You got to work righteousness verses into your life. This is not just hear it once. Oh, I got it. I'm righteous. Going to battle, you need to equip yourself with everything you can. I had a boss for years. He actually was my mentor at IBM. He's gone on to be with the Lord now, but he was in World War II. And I would ask him about the war. He wouldn't speak a lot about it. But he said no matter what battle he was going to do, he always had an abundance of weaponry. In other words, he had picked up everything he thought he might need for the battle. I said, what gun do you carry? He said, I carried several. So he had different guns he was carrying in. And he said he always wanted to be ready for whatever situation or circumstance came up. And you can't just hear these promises one time. You got to arm yourself. Because you're about to go into battle, you need to be fully equipped and armed. And you got to know that you've been made a new creation in Christ Jesus. Do you see this? What are you laughing about? How about that? See, you saw during praise and worship, I'm just saying it for the sake of the microphone, you saw Pastor Nancy being armor coming on her as she was worshiping and prophesying. And then you saw an army force behind her, backing her up. Amen. Well, look at Isaiah 32. Have you got it? Verse 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. We have a picture at home that Marie Waddell painted, gave us a copy of the print. It's a huge print of a white tiger. She went to Cincinnati and took photos of the white tigers up there and made this print. And underneath it's this verse, Isaiah 32:17, and it says, in quietness and assurance. It's got the tiger just laying there, knowing it has nothing to fear. Now follow me on this. I mentioned once I got a hold of the revelation of righteousness, I could rest in what I believed I received, versus think I got to keep praying to be worthy to receive it. Oh, I had a worldly thought. Oh, I can't receive now. Because I had to be so spiritual to think I was in position to receive. Does anybody know what I'm speaking about? But now that I know who I am in Christ, to the level I know it, I'm always going to higher levels. I can speak and rest and have peace and be assured it's going to come to pass. For in righteousness, thou shalt have peace. In this revelation, you shall know you have a right to every promise God said. Who is the enemy that could try to stop you from receiving it? And as well, we have quietness and assurance of the promise being fulfilled. The revelation of righteousness lets you put your faith in cruise control and lets you really step into patience. Because it's not you that has to earn it. Jesus already earned it. You merely spoke it. And based on your right standing, you're going to receive it. Are you seeing the contrast here? Because before, we thought we had to keep speaking. I believe I've received. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. Oh, I'm healed. By stripes, I'm healed. He says, we're going to heal me by, you know, deliver me from all destruction. No plague, no calamity. And we just walked over, confessing the word. Thinking if I confessed it long enough and often enough, I'd get it because I was speaking nothing but that. And of course, you quit praying and all of a sudden the devil comes and says, who do you think you receive? You are to receive healing. I'm the healer. Although we go right back, you know. Instead of saying, I am the righteous of God in Christ Jesus and shutting it down right there. And continuing in what we'd already spoken. Now, you will need to keep speaking the promise of God for what you want to believe, but you don't have to do it around the clock. Know who you are and you have authority. Because authority, your authority you walk in, here's another key statement, your authority that you walk in parallels your revelation of who you are in Christ. Let me say that again because I can see all these blank stares. The authority that you're able to manifest over circumstances, over demonic powers, over all of creation is directly tied to your revelation knowing that you're the righteousness of God in Christ. Because your authority flows out of your righteousness understanding. Jesus on the cross says, do you not know that I could call forth 20 legions of angels? 20,000 legions. 20,000 legions of angels to deliver me? He knew who he was. Your authority to command devils to leave is tied to you having this revelation. Your authority to command sickness to leave and the dead to rise is tied to that revelation. You are not going to raise the dead thinking you're still a sinner saved by grace. Not unless this major gift kicks in. Are you following me? You're not going to heal multitudes unless you really realize that God has made you a new creation. But guess what? God's raising up an end-time church that has this understanding. Amen? Oh, I can't go there yet. If I go over there, we'll be another 20 minutes. Praise you, Jesus. Listen, my goal in this series again is to make sure that we don't leave out this vital link, connector, revelation, having all that God said that we have and we are. And I know I've taught this in the past. I will never stop teaching this. We will always be doing teachings on righteousness, series intermixed in whatever we're teaching. Because new people are coming in, and plus we always need the refresher courses. When I worked for IBM and I was in facilities because we dealt with a lot of electricity and other stuff. I don't know if you had to do this or not, but every year I had to take first aid training. CPR and first aid training every year. You'd have to. We were doing, you know, high voltage and other stuff, and And it was a requirement for us. So, hey, it's been almost 40 years. I can still do CPR as they taught us 40 years ago. They've changed it. They changed the CPR steps. But I can still do the old ones because they repeated it to us year after year. Had to practice it. And so they understood if you had it one time, it may not be enough. So they wanted you to take refresher courses. Actually, it's the whole course over again. And we got to be the same way with the kingdom of God. There's things we just have to keep before us to step into it. Amen. Did you get anything out of this so far?
Amen.
We're going to stay in this series for a few more weeks at least to get a hold of this. If you need special prayer for anything, I'll be glad to pray with. Otherwise, Father, I thank you for your word. We ask you to seal it in our hearts, our minds, our understanding, and cause us to be people of great faith and expectation and glory. We thank you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Share the love of God. I'll be able to pray with you if you desire. Be blessed.